a little bit of sad announcement to say. I walked out to my beehive this week and found out that all my bees died over the winter. I was real sad about that. But I did learn something really funny this week. Do you know that bees are actually allergic to pollen? Yeah, they are. They break out in hives. All right, I'm sorry. Don't boo me off the stage. I am here all, well, not here all week, but I'm here, yes, all week, so. Oh, that's funny. Well, we're going to go ahead and start a new series of sermons today called Jesus Is. And do you know that in Scripture, there's almost a little under 200 different titles and names that are given to Jesus? And, I was tempted to do a sermon on all 200, but Corey used the trousers of concealment last week, so I can't use that this week. No, he's not in here, so I can't tell him, but he did a wonderful job last week, and I appreciate the message that he brought to us last week. But, no, there are literally 200. That's amazing. Think about this. Think about all the ones in your mind that you can think of who Jesus is. Right? I mean, off the top of the head, I can think of Messiah, I can think of Savior, I can think of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. You could go through and sing this wonderful, yes, thank you. You could also sing Christmas songs and come up with all of these names, but there's so many different names of who Jesus is. And then what we're going to do in this series of sermons is that we're going to be looking at particular things that Jesus actually is. Some of them are going to be more difficult to grasp a hold of than others, but we're going to take a look at this. And I love this image that's up here because Jesus is also the Lion of Judah. But he's also a man. He's God's only son, but he's God incarnate here on this earth. He's all of these things, and he's such an amazing opportunity, amazing person that walked this earth. Now, if you're here today and you're saying to yourself, oh great, here's another sermon on Jesus, right? Well, you come to the right place because yes, we preach about Jesus here, okay? But I want to guarantee you that if you're here and you've never followed Jesus and you don't, what we mean by following Jesus, it means you've never accepted him and what he did on the cross for your sins. It's okay. You're welcome here, whether you're here in person or you're watching at home online. We welcome you. You're here. But I also understand that every single person that walks either in through those doors or watches us online or we have conversations with, you know that every single person that you talk to has an idea of who Jesus is. I'm afraid I'm going to knock that off, so I'm going to put that down there. Everybody has an image of who Jesus is. Whether you go to church, whether you consider yourself a faithful person, whether you consider yourself a religious person, whether you consider yourself someone who has followed God all your life, or whether you consider yourself an atheist, you have an idea. You have in your mind who Jesus is. Do you know that every single religion has Jesus in it? If you just think of the major ones, if you think about Islam, for example, Jesus is in Islam. Now, he's not the same as what we classify Jesus as, but every religion has a form of Jesus. Not only do religions and not only do faith-based people have this idea who Jesus is, but historically, Jesus is also true. There is more records of who Jesus is than almost any other person that walked this face of the earth. Do you know that King Herod, the very one who tried to kill Jesus, there's more proof that Jesus lived than King Herod lived. It's written all over Scripture. It's written all over history. It's written everywhere. Everyone has a view of who Jesus is. If you walk down the streets today and you ask someone who Jesus is, they're going to give you an answer because they know. They have an idea of who he is. Now, they may not completely know the truth of who Jesus is, but they will have some type of idea who Jesus is. And so I think it's important for us to define that because, see, who Jesus is in your life and who he is in my life, goes a long way for our faith. It goes a long way with what you're doing to serve your God or not serve your God. Because if you truly know who Jesus is in all of the wonderful forms of who he is, then you're willing to lay down your life. You're willing to do all of these things because you know exactly who he is. If you don't know who he is, then you're more skeptical about doing these certain things. I might dip my toe in the water a little bit, but then I'm going to step back because I'm not willing to jump in 100%. Every single one of us, I'm not going to answer my phone this time. I learned my lesson. My phone was ringing, but I'm not going to answer it from the pulpit. A few weeks ago, I answered the phone from the pulpit. I don't know. Were you guys here for that? Yeah. I won't do that again. But the truth of the matter is every single person has an idea of who Jesus is. Every single person says, this is who Jesus is. But it's different. Have you ever walked in, have you ever spent time with people from different faiths, different religions, different denominations even possibly, and asked them, who do you think Jesus is? It's an amazing response. It's amazing. Even within a church of our size, if you sit down and you ask every single person in this room, you're going to get a different answer from every single person in this room. You might get some similar ones. We all know, most people who come to church will know Jesus as their Savior. But they won't know him as other things, and that's what's so important. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to be starting in verse 13. In that verse, we're going to find out this word that Jesus is Messiah. Messiah is an interesting term that we're going to learn exactly what Messiah means, but it's interesting because nowhere in the Old Testament, does it mention Jesus as Messiah. But yet, one of the greatest terms that we come to give to Jesus, that we come to give to Jesus, I almost drew back in my southern roots there, even though I don't have any southern roots, and said Jesus. Forrest, sounds like Forrest Gump. Okay, well, maybe I'm drawing back in my Jedi. But Messiah is very important. The word Messiah means something. The word Messiah means that he is chosen. We're going to talk a lot about this. See, one of the biggest mistakes I feel a Christian can make is having a misunderstanding of who Jesus really is. My prayer, my hope, and my reason for doing this sermon series is that at the end of these 6 weeks, that when we look at Jesus, we will all have a baseline, at least, of who Jesus is. Now, I cannot force you to have a relationship with Jesus. I cannot force you to grow closer to him. I can only pray and hope that the Holy Spirit prods you, tempts you, pushes you into a closer relationship with him. But the important part of this is that it's sad when we say the word Jesus, but we don't have the understanding of who he is. Many Christians in churches across the world today will call Jesus their Savior. Why? Because they want the fire insurance. They want the protection from hell. But they know Jesus not anything other than Savior. Jesus is so much more than just a Savior. He's so much more than that word. We often, and that's not a bad word, but we often, I feel, the church often pigeonholes him into this one idea that he is the Savior. He is the one that's going to save you from hell. Is that true? Yes, that is absolutely true. But he's so much more than that. Back in my high school days, I won't embarrass anyone, but back in my high school days, there was this song that had a dance to it, and it was called the song Personal Jesus. Now, it was blasphemy. You know, a lot of people would sing that on the song, and I heard these old ladies that I used to go to church with going, you can't listen to that song, and it's probably right, but I can still do the dance. I won't do it, yeah, but I'll stop there. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus is personal. Jesus is personal with each and every one of you in this room. See, Jesus has a relationship with me, but guess what? He wants a relationship with you. And your relationship with Jesus is probably going to look something different than my relationship with him, and that's okay. As long as you have a relationship with him and you know him, for who he is. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to be in this relationship with you. See, Jesus is more than a man. He was man, though. 100% human. He had to be to walk this earth. He's more than just a savior. Was he a savior? Yes, he died on the cross, was resurrected 3 days later. Amazing, amazing fact. All of those things are true. But he's much more than that. Jesus is all of those things combined into this wonderful opportunity for us to have as a Messiah, as a personal Savior in our lives. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you. Lord, we pray that today could be a day of salvation in this place because we learn to know exactly who you are, Jesus. You came to this earth. You didn't have to, but you chose to come to this earth. And you chose to walk this earth in a sinless life. And then you gave your life over to us, dying on the cross for us, and then was raised 3 days later. Lord, I pray that as we go through this series of sermons and even today's message, that we can learn to love you in the way that you are, learn to know you in all of your glory, all of your wonder, all of your beauty. May we grasp a hold of that today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own words, but they would truly be the words that you would want us to hear from you today. I pray that you'd lead us and guide us and that you would remove any hindrances. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you just come and help us clear our minds, clear our hearts, so that we can hear directly from you and what you would have to speak to us today. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse, a very popular verse, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13. We're going to start with verses 13 and 14. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he's there, and he's having this conversation, and Jesus comes into the district of Caesarea Philippi, easy for me to say, where he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Interesting question that Jesus, these are men that have been going with Jesus, that have been living with Jesus, they have been traveling across the world with Jesus. They have seen him do miracles, they have been with him, they have heard him, they call him rabbi, they call him teacher, they accept all of these information, they are learning from him, they're at his feet. And he says, "Now when Jesus came into the district, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.'" It's interesting that the disciples' response aren't immediately, "Jesus, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords." They start with what people are saying. They said that some say John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist? John the Baptist was a very popular figure that was laying down the road for Jesus to come. His job, his life was to bring glory and sight into Jesus. And John the Baptist was weird. The Chosen does a pretty good job of placing or characterizing John the Baptist, but John the Baptist ate honey and figs and fruit and anything else he could find, and he had a deer skin cloth, and he would stand down by the river. He was like the modern day evangelist who stands on the corner. This past week, as I'm driving through Ravenna on the court lawn of Ravenna, there was a man there with a sign that said, "Jesus saves, you must be saved." And so as the curiosity struck me, I could have just drove by, but you know, your pastor doesn't just drive by those types of things. So I pulled off to the side, and I parked, and I walked over, and I said, "So what do you mean by saved? How good do I really have to be saved?" And I started having this conversation, and they did a relatively really good job of sharing the gospel message. And I'm sitting here having a conversation with these people, and I'm acting like I haven't told them I'm a pastor. I haven't even told them my name. I'm just playing the role there, hearing what they have to say, and I'm having this conversation. And a friend walks by and goes, "Hey, Pastor Jason, how you doing?" Like, darn it. And they looked at me to go, "You're a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I just want to tell you guys, thank you for being here. You're doing a great job. It's not something I would do, but you're doing a fantastic job. Can I pray for you?" And I prayed for them right there in the street corner, and I got back in my truck and I left. But as I was there, though, as people were driving past, I heard all kinds of things. They were called almost every name in the book. Weirdos, and I can't even repeat like three quarters of what was said out the windows to these poor guys. And these guys were not bothered. They weren't screaming. They weren't saying anything. They're merely hanging on to a sign. John the Baptist was very much like those people. He was saying things that eventually got him killed, but he was saying things. He was saying the truth. He was speaking the truth. Others say that Jesus was Elijah. Why Elijah? Well, Elijah was well known in the Jewish community. He was a prophet. He was a miracle maker. He was one that miracles came, not by his own hands, but by God working through him. And so as he stands there, as Jesus is doing the miracles, they are for sure that this must be Elijah reincarnated, by the way. And then others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. See, the truth of the matter is that regardless of your faith, everyone has an opinion on Jesus. This past week, talking with the guys on the street corner, I had a conversation with someone, and I asked them, I said, they are full-blown out atheists, 100%. I knew that. And I decided to contact them because I wanted to see what they would say when I asked them, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" And I'm waiting for them to say something, and I'm prompting these questions because I wanted to see exactly what they would say. Their response was, "Jesus was a good person." Was he a good person? Yes, he was. But see, everybody, even the atheists, have a decision on who Jesus is. They understand Jesus. They understand. Scripture shows us that even the demons knew who Jesus was. See, everyone knows who Jesus is. It's not only just recognizing Jesus, but when you have Jesus, when you have a relationship with Jesus and you're walking the path and you're having communication with people, do you know people can experience the Jesus inside of you? When Miss Tanya holds back from beating Pastor Chaz with a cane, that's Jesus inside of her. Because I love you so much, Chaz, that's all. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is that every single one of you have, if you have a relationship with Jesus, as you relate with other people, they can experience that Jesus inside of you. When you hold back your tongue, that's Jesus inside of you. See, Jesus is popular and trending on many levels. Oh, Corey's not in here, so I can't say look at that. He's trending, right? Corey, Jesus is trending on many levels. Yeah. He's trending on Twitter and everywhere else too. The truth of the matter is that Jesus, during his ministry, was so popular that he had people that absolutely hated him, and then he had people that absolutely loved him. Jesus was popular, and your opinion on Jesus was popular too. Even the church during Jesus' time was completely torn on who he was. Sadducees and Pharisees fought over who Jesus was. The Romans had an idea of who Jesus was. Individual people had an idea who Jesus was. See, today on many Christians have a misconception on Jesus. They may understand him as one of the roles, Savior, but they don't know him as friend. They don't know him as leader. They don't know him as King of Kings. They may know him as that Savior who saved them from dying and going to hell, but that's where that relationship ends, and there's no other further relationship with Jesus, and so you only experience him in that way. Do you know that Jesus doesn't want to just be your Savior? This might sound weird, but I know you're in church, and I know you want to hear a good gospel message, and I hope I'm giving it to you, but listen, Jesus wants to be more than just saving you on the cross. His whole life didn't come, and his whole life and ministry on this earth wasn't to get you to just accept him for what he did on the cross and then leave you and abandon you. No, his whole purpose was to live on this earth so that he could have a relationship with you. If it was all about him dying on the cross for your sins, then why would he be resurrected 3 days later? He wouldn't be. One of the reasons why he was resurrected 3 days later is so that he could have an active, alive ministry inside of your heart and with you. Verse 16 says that Jesus asks a question. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Interesting question. Jesus stops his disciples and says, "It's enough what you're saying, what everyone else is saying, but let me ask you directly, who do you say that I am?" So my question to you is, who is Jesus to you today? This week I asked for a one-word description of who Jesus was on our Facebook account, and I received many wonderful, great words. The truth of the matter is that many times we have an opinion of who Jesus is, but it's based on someone else's words. We come to church and we hear the pastor say, "Oh, Jesus is our Savior," and then all of a sudden we go home and say, "Jesus is my Savior." That's wonderful and that's great. But you know what? I don't want your relationship with Jesus to be based upon what I tell you. I want your relationship with Jesus to be what you have in your heart with him. Because if your relationship with Jesus is based upon me, then it's my relationship with Jesus that's guiding you. Your relationship with Jesus is supposed to see Jesus is something to you, and you have to ask that question, what is Jesus to me? Who is he to me? Who is this person? Is he just a Savior? Is he just a good man that walked this earth? Is he just a man who was born of a virgin, an amazing story that we celebrate at Christmas? Or is he more than that? All of those things are wonderful things, but at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, who is Jesus to us? My job as a pastor would be incomplete if I told you who Jesus is. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Truth of the matter is, I don't want to tell you who Jesus is. I want you to learn and experience who Jesus is in your own relationship and not my relationship. You have to experience exactly who he is. You have to grasp a hold of this. You have to ask this question. You have to ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? Is he this nice person who died on the cross for me? Is he this nice person who did all of these things for me? Or is he the King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords? Is he the Prince of Peace? Is he all of these things to me? What does that mean? Well, that means a lot of things. See, if Jesus is just a good person, then you're probably not going to be guided to open up your Bible and read much. You're probably not going to be down on your hands and knees and praying and asking the Lord for something. Unless, of course, by the way, you're having troubles and then everyone's down on their hands and knees, right? See, Jesus becomes real personable when you start going through issues in life. The truth of the matter is that many Christians are only Christians when things are bad. When things are good, a lot of Christians you don't see around at church because they don't need Jesus anymore. They only need him when things are bad. That may be offensive to some of you, but guess what? It's the truth. Jesus is much more than that. From the everyday person to the Roman soldiers, they all had a knowledge of Jesus, but the disciples had a greater experience. The ones who receive miracles from Jesus are on a different level than you and I. Could you imagine the man that Jesus went down to the pool and he's sitting on the side of the pool. He hasn't walked in years, all his life. And Jesus comes down and he heals him. I bet you his description of who Jesus is much greater than any of our descriptions of Jesus is, because Jesus did an amazing miracle for him. How about the lady who was in the crowd, and as Jesus is walking through the town, she comes up and she grabs a hold of his cloak and is immediately healed of something. I bet you her opinion of Jesus is different than all of ours too. Maybe today you're here today and you've seen Jesus do some miracles in your life. I hope that you have, because by then you hopefully your idea of who Jesus is even going to be different. When we realize what Jesus is and what he has done in our lives, then we can begin to have a more appropriate idea of who Jesus is. Matthew 16, verses 16 through 17. Simon Peter replied, I love this verse. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him. By the way, do you notice when Jesus answers him, he doesn't call him Peter? Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It's important, and I want you to store that in the back of your mind here for a moment, that Jesus does not call him Peter at that time. Peter, by the way, in Greek is called Petra, or Petros, means the rock. Jesus' term for Peter was the small rock, actually. It wasn't the rock, it was the small rock. But Jesus, in this verse, is calling, and he's speaking to Peter. Peter responds and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus responds, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to heaven, but my Father who is in heaven. See, what Simon was saying to Jesus was that you're the Messiah. This word Messiah is an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word. A word that means the chosen one or anointed one. The New King James Version says that Peter called him, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yes, Pastor Chaz, I do prefer the New King James Version of this verse. Because I like the word where Peter says the Messiah, which means the Christ, the anointed one. It does mean the chosen one. It means all of those things. And those are wonderful. But what Peter was saying, you have to understand his mindset. Peter is saying, oh, you're not a prophet. You're not Elijah. You're not John the Baptist. You're not all of these things. You are the Christ, the one, the anointed one, the chosen one, the holy one. He is the above of all things. There's nothing greater to a Hebrew person. There would have been nothing greater than Peter by him calling him the Messiah. This is the greatest term of endearment that Peter, the greatest term of acknowledging, the greatest term of honoring Jesus was calling him the Messiah. Why is that important? Because Peter knew at this time that Jesus was more than just a man who walked this earth. Peter had seen his miracles. Peter had seen all of these things. Peter had spent time with Jesus. And so now Jesus is the Messiah. This was by no small feat a huge title that Peter gives to Jesus. Peter, in essence, was saying, there is no one greater than you. You are the greatest thing that has ever happened to me and the world. Peter is saying that there's nothing in his life that has ever happened that can even come close to comparing me walking with you. Jesus was a teacher, and Peter could have called him rabbi. That would have been appropriate, but he didn't call him rabbi. There was priests at that time. Peter could have called Jesus a priest, but he didn't. He called him Messiah. Why Messiah? Because, see, in the word Messiah is both prophet, priest, and king. All three of those terms are rolled into one. Never before on this earth had been there someone who was the prophet, priest, and king. There was many people who were prophets who could foretell through God what was going to happen in areas. There was many people who were priests who would acknowledge and sacrifice lambs and other animals for the sins of people, for their own sins. There are some people who, even David was a king. All of these people were there. But never before has there ever been and ever will be a person who walked this earth that was prophet, priest, and king. Jesus was all of those. He was way more than a rabbi. He was way more than a teacher. He was way more than a priest. He was way more than a prophet. He was way more than the greatest king that ever walked this earth. He was all three of those together. Jesus was the Messiah. Is the Messiah. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 20 says, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. See, Jesus is the rock and the foundation stone. That's another verse, another title that he's given in Scripture. It's the foundation stone, the cornerstone, if you will. The stone that when you're building a house back in the days and you had to lay that first stone, you wanted to make sure that that foundation stone was level. You wanted to make sure that foundation stone was straight. You laid that foundation stone. That's the first stone that you laid, and it had to be perfect because every other thing was going to be built upon that. When Jesus has this conversation with Peter, he says, "I tell you, you are Peter." Again, that verse, that word Peter that he uses is the feminine small version of rock. Petra, not Petros, Petra. For many years, I attended a different church when I was a young child, and part of their beliefs was that Peter was the foundation of the church. It was the church. They believed that the church all across the world started with Peter. They called him Saint Peter, in fact. And I always had a problem with this. In fact, this is why I left that denomination when I was 15 years old, because I had a conversation with the priest at the time, and I stood before him and I said, "This doesn't make sense. Peter is not, Jesus isn't talking about Peter here. Jesus is talking about Peter's response to this question. Jesus isn't telling that Peter is going to be the foundation of the church. That would make absolutely no sense. Why would did Peter die on the cross? Absolutely not. He did not. Did Peter go out and do all of these things? No, he did not. Peter did not do any of those things. Peter was a wonderful disciple. A disciple that should be honored. That he eventually martyred. His life was martyred. He was killed for his faith. Those are all amazing. And what he did was amazing. I take nothing away from what Peter did. But he is not by any means the foundation of my church, of this church that we're at. The foundation stone of this church is Jesus Christ. What Jesus was responding to Peter was that when Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." When Peter calls Jesus Messiah, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Peter responds, "I will tell you, and on this rock I will build my church." See, if our church is built upon the foundation stone, if your life is built upon the foundation stone of Jesus, then guess what happens? This verse, by Jesus' own words, if I was using the red letter version, right? If you're reading your Bibles and it's red, it means because Jesus responded this. This is Jesus' own words. His response are what? "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If your life is built upon the foundation stone, who is Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the one who is there, and we let our life build upon everything upon that, that is the foundation. That's where everything begins. If we build our life on Jesus, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know about you, but I don't want any gates of hell trying to prevail against me. And so my life is built upon that foundation stone so that when I walk in this earth and I walk out and I'm facing the demons and I face hell on every... Listen, one of the other things that most people have an opinion on is they all have an opinion on Jesus, but everyone has an opinion on hell and demons too. And guess what? You walk out this door, you walk in, even... demons are all around and they're trying to prevail against us. The battle is not with flesh and blood. The battle is spiritual. Jesus tells us that. Paul tells us that, I should say. Jesus is the foundation stone, the beginning and the end of all things. And Peter, and he responds to this, isn't in Jesus' response to Peter, isn't that you're going to build my church? No, this is where my church is going to be. If we build our church upon Jesus, if we build our life, if we build our families, if we build our jobs, if we build everything on the foundation stone of Jesus, then the gates of hell will not prevail against it, because he is the rock and the foundation stone. Messiah comes from the word Messiah and means anointed one or chosen one. Jesus was called Messiah because he is the one that was chosen by God the Father. Do you understand that? Jesus was chosen. He is the chosen one, the anointed one, the one in Old Testament history. What would happen is that when a king would become special, or you could go back and you could read in David, and the anointing of David happens in Kings, First, Second Kings. And you're in Second Kings, and David is being anointed. I think it's Second Kings. I could be wrong. But anyway, David is being anointed, and what happens is that Samuel comes down to David, and what does he do? He anoints his head with oil. Why? Because Samuel, even at a young age of David, is very young. He's not yet king, but Samuel is saying, you are the chosen one. And so he anoints his head with oil. Jesus was the anointed one. He was the chosen one. He was the one that came for us. The question that I have to ask you is, Jesus, you're a Messiah. Is he the chosen one? Do you choose to follow him? Do you choose him to be over yourself, over others, over everything in your life? Or do you allow the idea that you can rule and Jesus can rule at the same time enter into your life? See, the mistake that we make too often as Christians is that we say with our lips that Jesus is Messiah, but then our actions prove something exactly opposite from that. We say, Jesus, you are my Messiah. I'm giving you everything. Here's all of my problems. Here is all of my hope. But guess what? I'm going to keep this side for me. I really like my money. I really like my house. I really like this. I really like whatever it is that we're keeping back. And so we hold back on those things. See, when we learn that Jesus is Messiah, we're not afraid to give him everything. We're not afraid to say, here you go, it's all yours. We have chosen Jesus as our Savior, but have we chosen him as our Messiah? Messiah is beyond Savior. Messiah is everything. Messiah is the King. Messiah is the Prophet. He is the Priest. He is all of those things. There's nothing more important in your life. There's nothing more important in your life than what you think of and what you classify Jesus as in your life today. He is the beginning and the end of all things in your life. He is the one that can save you, but he's also the one that will guide you. See, the problem is that too often we believe that Jesus is our Savior, but we don't really want to go into this Messiah idea. Because by going into this Messiah idea, that means that Jesus has to be Messiah when things aren't going well. Jesus is still, do you know that Jesus is Messiah when things are all good, but Jesus is still Messiah when things are all bad too? Jesus is Messiah when the world is all, when all the bills are paid and everything, hallelujah, the bills are paid, right? I got money in the bank, the bills are paid, I get to go out to dinner, Messiah has come, hallelujah, right? But is Jesus Messiah when you look down and you're like, I have no money in the bank account, I don't have enough gas to get to where I need to go, and I don't have anything in the fridge? Is he still Messiah then? You betcha he is. You betcha he is. I feel like that commercial, the Progressive commercial. You betcha. When we understand who Jesus is and we live for him in our lives, then things change. When we understand that Jesus is the Messiah over good, but he's also the Messiah when things are bad, When we call Jesus Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that means he's the King over all things. What that means is that even when you don't like it, guess what? Jesus is still Messiah. It's amazing. Today, I shudder to think what Jesus says about some of the beliefs of the more liberal church that's in America today. It's amazing to think, because see, what they've done is they've made Jesus their Savior because they want to be saved from hell, but they haven't made him Messiah because they're not willing to read Scripture and follow everything that's inside Scripture. They make their own beliefs, and they take Scripture and they turn it to say what they want it to say so that they can live their life the way that they want to do. See, when Jesus is Messiah, that means that even when you read something, there's a reason for it. If Jesus is your Messiah, then you'll understand that when you're doing something wrong, guess what? There's consequences to those actions, and you need saved. Jesus is Messiah at all times, but is he the Messiah of your life? I'm going to ask Corey and the worship team to come forward. See, today we have to ask ourselves, if Jesus is truly my rock and my foundation, if is he truly the cornerstone which all of my life is built upon, then we have to live for him. We have to say, listen, Jesus is bigger than me, so that means I have to humble myself. That's a word that most Americans don't like. I laughed because the other day I saw a meme that said, I read a post on Facebook that I didn't agree with, and guess what? I just kept on scrolling. That doesn't happen very often. But see, when Jesus is Messiah, that doesn't mean that he's not going to be offensive. Do you understand that next week we're going to talk about Jesus as an offensive person, because Jesus was very offensive. But what it meant is that Jesus went above and beyond, and he loved first. He's the only person I ever known that could come and slap you in the side of your face about 5 times, and then you feel loved when he walked away. The truth of the matter is that as Messiah, we have to learn to love him, and we have to learn to follow him in all things, even when we may not agree with it. And what I mean by that is that sometimes when I read Scripture, and maybe you're not like this, but maybe it's just me, but sometimes when I read Scripture, I'm like, oh, come on, God, you don't really want me to do that, do you? Yes, I do. This past week, 2:00 in the morning, I was awoken up, and I could not sleep, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm trying to think, Lord, what? Okay, I get it. You want me to pray? I don't want to get out of bed, though, Lord. Come on. Don't make me get out of bed, right? No, Jason, I want you to get out of bed. So I got out of bed and I walked into my normal prayer spot and I sat down and I began to pray. And I'm like, God, I'm just tired. I want to go back to bed. He's like, but I want to have a conversation with you. Okay. What he asked me to do, I can't tell you right now, but he asked me to do something that I was like, I don't want to do that. Come on. Why do I want to do that? And then I felt in my heart. I hate when God does this. I hate when this happens, but he says, am I your Savior or am I your Messiah? Am I your King? Because if you're my King, you're going to listen to my words and you're going to follow what I say. If you're just my Savior, then you're going to, if I'm just your Savior, then you're going to set me for what I do, what I did on the cross. But when you don't like what I'm telling you, am I still your King? Am I still your Messiah? Okay, God. See, in church we make Christianity, we make Jesus all about the roses and all about the wonderful things and how he died on the cross and was raised 3 days later, and that's all wonderful. That's all great. That's all true, and there's nothing better than a Jesus who died on the cross for your sins. Do you know that he did that? He died on your cross. But see, Christianity and following Christ is a lot more than just all of that. It's a relationship, knowing that He is King of Kings, that He is the Lord of Lords, that He is the Prince of Peace, that He is the Messiah, and that He calls you to follow Him even when you don't feel like it, even when you're too tired, even when you don't like what He's asking you to do. You still choose to follow Him because He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one, the anointed one. He is the only one. And whatever He asks you is in your best interest. You can guarantee you that. Will you stand with me, please? I've asked multiple times in my prayer life, God, why did You strictly charge the disciples to tell no one that You were Christ? The truth of the matter is that Jesus wasn't ready to go to the cross at that very point. If His disciples would have been going to the Jewish people and said He is the Messiah, that would have been immediate death to Jesus. Because that would have been such, I mean, it was already great blasphemy going on, but that would have been such a great blasphemy to the Jewish people that they would have sought Him out and they would have killed Him without even questioning anything about it. The problem I think that we run into today is that too many of us are strictly being charged by the devil to tell no one that He was the Christ, the Messiah of their own lives. That He is the Christ, the Messiah of their lives. See, I believe today that Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already been resurrected. He's already reigning at the right hand of His Father, and we're waiting for Him to come back a second time. But our job right now here on this earth is to live for the Messiah, Jesus, to share Him with everyone. This verse, verse 20, wasn't to us, it was to the disciples. Our job now is to strictly tell everyone that Jesus is Messiah. Our job is to get out and share with them that He is Messiah, that He is the rock and the foundation, that He is everything to us. And so can I encourage you today, learn who Jesus is. Learn that He is the Messiah. If He is truly your Messiah, what that means is that you're willing to give your life for Him. You're willing to lay down everything. You're willing to listen to Him even when it doesn't make sense to you. You're willing to look at a bad situation in your life and say, Lord, I don't understand this right now, but I will follow You. Are you there today? Maybe you're here today and you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've never repented of your sins. May you receive Him today. Jesus is available to you. It's as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my soul. Speak to me. Show me where I have gone wrong. I confess with my mouth that You are Lord. I confess with my mouth that I am a sinner and I need to turn away from my sins. Maybe you're here today and you have already you've already said these words, but instead you find yourself living not for a Jesus who is a Messiah, but a Jesus who is the ruler over the things that you want to give Him, but you're not going to give Him everything. May I ask you at this place, right here, right now, at this time, to say, Lord, I confess that I've held back from You. I confess that I have held on to those things that I wanted to hold on to, and I haven't given You everything. And so today, I want to make this commitment that I'm giving You everything. I'm giving You my life. I'm giving You my family. I'm giving You my finances. I'm giving You all things because they are Yours, Father. You are my Messiah. You are my King. You are my prophet. You are my priest. You're all things to me, and I give these things to You. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done in our lives. We ask You that You continue to do those. Lord, You are so worthy of all of these things and so much more. But we have held back, Father. I have held back. Every one of us in this room can identify something in our life that we have held back from You. And so today, Lord, we come to You and we say, here it is. Here's my past. Here's my wrong decisions. Here's my good decisions. Here's my good part of my life. Here's my bad part of my life. It is all yours, Father. Lead me and guide me. I will do what you say because you are my Messiah. You are my chosen one, the anointed one. You speak, I listen, and I follow you. Today, be my rock, be my foundation stone. Be the Messiah. Be all of these things to me today, Father. Forgive me for not doing those things in the past. Forgive me for making those wrong decisions, but help me to follow you today. I praise you, I glorify you, and I honor you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
You're worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
The next words on this song goes, all the saints and angels, they bow before your throne. That throne is God himself, but it also is Jesus, because Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. Could you imagine just for a moment? I know we're ready to go and you guys are ready to get out of here and all of that good stuff, but I just want you, just for one moment, position yourself in the gates of heaven. You're standing there and all of the angels and all of the elders and all of the wonderful people are standing and they're actually bowing before the throne. What an amazing picture. All of those people that are much greater than me, much greater than any of us in this room. Think about the greatest characters in life that you could, in a good way, the greatest Jewish Christian characters that you could think of. David, Elijah, Moses, Abraham, Paul, Peter, Matthew, all of them bowing before the throne of God. They do that because he is worthy of all of those things. Are you in that same posture today? I pray that you are. Father, we thank you for this day. You are worthy of all things. There's so much that you're worthy of. We can't hardly even give to you. But what we have, we attempt to give. That's our life, our words, our actions. We give them to you because you are worthy. Help us this day and this week, Father, as we leave this place, to go out into the world around us and to speak the truth, letting the world know that you are the Messiah and that you are worthy of all things. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We ask you to be with us in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again next week. If you have any prayer requests, please feel free to come forward. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you.
Bow before your throne. All the elders cast their cries before the throne of God and sing. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. For from